And remember, Harry, when we go into the quiz, keep your voice down, said Alice. They were all listening to you last time. Harry looked up from behind his newspaper and scowled. I can't help it if they know nothing. And anyway, I wasn't talking loud. Oh, yes, you were. They had their ears cocked like spaniels, said Alice peevishly. And that accumulator hasn't been won for 4 weeks. It's up to £125. We'll never win it if you carry on shouting out the answers. We, muttered Harry under his breath, knowing his wife's meagre contributions, but continued sarcastically. I suppose we can expect to see the Mafia and the London mobs there, and Securico parked outside with all that money at stake. He got to his feet, dropped the paper onto his chair, and collected his coat. Come on, then. They'll be queuing for miles outside the Royal Oak, and the rest of the All-Stars will be waiting. His second forecast was correct. Tommy and June, the rest of the team, were outside the Oak when they arrived. "Are the stars shining brightly tonight?" asked Tommy, as he did at every quiz night. He had thought up the team name. "Twinkle, twinkle," said Harry gruffly, as they mounted the stone steps. News of the jackpot had spread, and several tables had been moved in from the Snug to accommodate the extra teams. Their main rivals, the Stamford Stags, were already there, looking confident. Under instructions from Alice, the All-Stars chose a table away from them and sat down just as the landlord appeared with a microphone and a bundle of papers. "The rules tonight are as normal," he announced. "Marquis of Queensbury," offered a beery voice through the smoke, and was rewarded by a guffaw from his mates. The landlord ignored him and continued with his weekly announcement, finishing loudly, "with this week's jackpot rising to a record £125 for any team getting all the 40 questions correct." The first half was straightforward. Tommy took all the sporting questions, and Harry saw no reason to disagree with his answers. June managed two on the Royals, which happened to have been in her latest woman's magazine. Alice named the landlord of the Rover's Return in Coronation Street, and Harry justified his reputation of being an expert on anything in the past by whispering many of the rest. Although there was no official break after 20 questions, two of the younger teams tore up their papers and headed for the pool room. The captain of the Stags looked smugly confident, whilst other teams were still arguing. The second half was more difficult, with Harry making a great show of alternately whispering and scribbling answers on bits of paper for Alice, the self-appointed secretary, to transfer in a neat hand, "We don't want any arguments," onto the answer sheet. June rescued them with the name of the Beatles' first number one hit. Tommy, after much head-scratching, named the Lincoln City manager. Harry remembered the date of D-Day, and Alice wrote them down. Finally, the landlord asked for the papers and announced that there would be time to order more drinks whilst he did the official count. Quiz night was always good for bar sales. 5 or 10 minutes later, he was back, calling for silence. "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a dead heat which calls for a tie-break." He was enjoying the occasion. "And this is no ordinary tie-break, as both teams have scored a maximum, qualifying one of them for our accumulator jackpot, which, as you all know, amounts to a record £125. "Get on with it," came an unidentified voice from the corner. The landlord proceeded without reacting. "The two teams are," he paused for effect, "the Stamford Stags and the All-Stars." "Twinkle, twinkle," laughed Tommy, slapping Harry on the back. The landlord, red-faced with pleasure, announced, "The tiebreaker will consist of one very difficult question, with the answer to be written down and passed to me. No calling out, please. And the question is, who was the first of the Plantagenet kings of England?" There was a hush apart from the two teams. The stags were looking at each other in dismay and looked across to the stars where Harry was mouthing vigorously at Alice.
"I can't hear you properly," she said, writing. "I'm not allowed to shout," he said, leaning over and altering her answer.
The stags were now also scribbling, and the landlord was on his feet, waiting to receive the answers. He finally picked up the microphone to announce, "The Stamford Stags," he paused, "were only one away with King Henry III. But the winners, with King Henry II, are the All Stars, who win 12 pints of beer and a jackpot of £125. There were loud cheers from every table but one. The All-Stars were sitting in Tommy's front room, celebrating their victory with a bottle of champagne. Alice sounded contrite. "I thought that I'd messed it up when you had to change the answer," she said to Harry. "You know I can't lip-read." Harry smiled and took a sip of champagne. "I know you can't, love, but that chap with a deaf aid in the Stags team can."